Praise the Lord. The message 169. The title of the message is Watchman, Part 6. Watch and protect the holy race. In the previous message, we have read in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, and verse 23 to verse 30, about the unfaithfulness of the Israelites in marrying foreign wives. This issue is also tackled by Ezra, and in particular Ezra chapter 9 and chapter 10. It deal and it handle the same issue about marriages not honoring God. we had spoke about this issue in the previous message, and we will continue in this message about it, and we will expand more about how to watch and protect the holy race, and the holy race are our children, and how when man or woman marry or get involved in sexual relationship outside the marriage, how it will bring things that not glorify God, and also will impart unholiness to the next generation. Israel, in his book, when he hear about the thing that's going on, action were taken about these things. Before we continue in this message, let's pray. Oh God, most precious Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, enable me to deliver your word. Enable us to understand, to grasp the essence of your will, O God, and to have the same mind of Christ, to humble down and willing to accept your will in full, and to be separate ourselves from the worldly things and the people around us and their practices. I pray that we will be bold to live your word and to announce it and to take a bold decision in order to follow you too, and to protect the holy race, our children, that the next generation, O Lord, will going to bring you glory and honor. Lord, enable me to deliver your word to your people. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I will read the book of Ezra, I will just repeat reading book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, verse 23 onward to verse 30. Moreover, in those days I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pull out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, you are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned among the many nations? There was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel, but even he was led into sin by foreign woman. Must we hear now that you two are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign woman? One of the sons of Jehoiada, son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. Remember them, oh my God, because they defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. So I purify the Levites, the priests, of everything foreign, and assign them duties, each to his own task. Here we find that the issue very clear. Nehemiah was very angry. He is a kind of a bold leader. He pulled the hair of some of them. He beat them. He showed truly that he cannot tolerate these things that the people of God did. Nehemiah and Ezra faced this situation in a very bold decision. Why? Why that? Why Nehemiah and Ezra, as we're going to read, they were so angry and upset when they come to know that such things is among the people of God. We will go and explain some points from the history. Now, the people of God, when they return from exile, they rebuild the temple for worship, and they rebuild the wall around Jerusalem to protect the city from invasion, and in addition, they put gates to keep system and discipline about whom will enter and who will go out. Now, after they found out, when they did all these things, they found that that are people among them who returned from exiles, and even among the priests and the Levites, they did not separate themselves from the nation around them by intermarrying with them. So what's happening on? That there is a wall around the city, but there is defilement inside. That will work, that what they had built, it will have no effect. The temple will be defiled, the city will be defiled, and the wall that they rebuilt and the gate that they put and the discipline they applied, it have no effect, because inside the church there are people who are defiled and had not separated themselves from the nations around them, and through them the address of the church people will be corrupted by the same life and principle of the non-believer people around them. We know that King Solomon, after the King David, period, King Solomon take the leadership and he became king. He is the first one who introduced idol worship into Israel by marrying wives from foreign nations, and that brought God's anger and wrath and caused the kingdom to be divided after his death. After the death of Solomon, the kingdom divided because of this very reason. That's why Nehemiah and Ezra, they were very angry with the issue, as well as the seed of idol worship. Even after Solomon died, it continued to the lives of the people, and the people continued to worship idols after the death of Solomon. Although they were good and strong kings, righteous kings, who came and walked with God to clean and purge Judah and Jerusalem from the idol worship, but after they died, the people would go back to the same way of wrongdoing. And finally, as we know, that God brought his wrath on them and he brought them into exile. Therefore, after they came back from exiles and rebuilt the temple and the wall, they found out that they have the same problem that brought destruction on the temple and on Jerusalem. Therefore, Nehemiah and Israel, they needed to deal with it aggressively and radically. There is no compromises. they cannot wait. In Ezra chapter 9, let us read verse 1 and 2. After these things had been done, the leaders came to me and said, the people of Israel, including the priests and the Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the neighboring peoples with their detestable practices, like those of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. They have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, and have mingled the holy race with the people around them, and the leaders and the officials have led the way in this unfaithfulness. Oh, here the point here, that the world, the worldly things, the non-believer and their practice now inside Jerusalem, inside the temple, around the temple. Now, what for? We had labor. What for? We have make rule. What have we have put the wall? If the wives of our children and the husband of our daughters are non-believers or they are evildoers, action need to be taken. You know, Israel, when he hear this, Israel was so grieved when he heard about it. Let's read verse 3 and verse 4. When I hear this, I tore my tunic and cloak, pulled hair from my head, and bared and sat down appalled. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel gathered around me because of this unfaithfulness of the exiles, and I sat there appalled until the evening sacrifice. He tore his clothes, he put his hair, the hair of his beard, he beat himself, he was crying, he was grieving. You know, as in Nehemiah, what they said, that like somebody, he built and finished everything, then you tell him you have to destroy it, and because there's something wrong, it have to be rebuilt again. They were not expecting to find out these things, but God exposed it for a certain purpose. Is it grieved? And we saw also how Nehemiah acted and reacted and was so angry with the people. Israel prayed and lifted up the situation to God. He petitioned the Lord for forgiveness. And also, we'll find out that when Israel prayed, the Lord make a way after that. We will read Israel chapter 9. We'll continue verse 5 to verse 15. Then at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my self-abasement with my tunic and cloak torn, and fell on my knees with my hands spread out to the Lord my God, and prayed. Oh my God, I am too ashamed and disgraced to lift up my face to you. My God, because our sins are higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our forefathers until now, our guilt has been great. Because of our sin, we and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings, as it is today. But now, for a brief moment, the Lord our God has been gracious in leaving us a remnant and giving us a firm place in his sanctuary. And so our God gives light to our eyes and a little relief in our bondage. Though we are slaves, our God has not deserted us in our bondage. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. He has granted us a new life to rebuild the house of our God and repair its ruins. And he has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. But now, O our God, what can we say after this? For we have disregarded the command you gave through your servants the prophets when you said, the land you are entering to possess is a land polluted by the corruption of its people, by their detestable practices. They have filled it with their impurities from one end to the other. Therefore, do not give your daughters in marriage to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them at any time, that you may be strong and eat the good things of the land and leave it to your children as an everlasting inheritance. What has happened to us is a result of our evil deeds and our great guilt. And yet, our God, you have punished us less than our sins have deserved and have given us a remnant like this. Shall we again break your commands and intermarry with the people who commit such detestable practices? Would you not be angry enough with us to destroy us, leaving us no remnant or survivor? O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous. We are left this day as a remnant. Here we are before you in our guilt, though because of it, not one of us can stand in your presence. Israel prayed, and he was in pain. While he was praying, we will read chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. While Israel was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men, women, and children gathered around him. They too wept bitterly. Then Shekaniah, son of Jael, one of the descendants of Elam, said to Israel, we have been unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women from the peoples around us. But in spite of this, there is still hope for Israel. We can see here that while Israel was praying, God touched the heart of the people to agree with him. Now, who will agree about this matter that they need to send the foreign wives away? But God was working behind. God was the one who exposed this sin, and he wanted to deal with it. And Nehemiah and Ezra and the rest of the people, they agree with the Lord. What he say here in verse 2, there is still hope for Israel. As we pray, when we are baffled with issues about family and marriages and children, we need to pray. God will lead us to certain things of what we need to do. God gathered the people. He touched their hearts. He humbled them. They realized their sin and their unfaithfulness. And verse 3, what we will read, what they say the people, not Israel. Now let us make a covenant before our God to send away all these women and their children in accordance with the counsel of my Lord and of those who fear the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law. Here the people, they trusted Israel, and they gave him the lead to do what is needed to be done to solve this particular issue. They told him to send away the foreign woman with their children. Verse 4 and 5, what they told him, rise up, this matter is in your hands. We will support you to take courage and do it. So Israel rose up and put the leading priests and Levites and all Israel under oath to do what had been suggested, and they took the oath. So here The church agreed, the body of Christ agreed, because when they go back to the history, they will find out that the cause of destruction of Jerusalem and the wall was destroyed and demolished because of the same sin. And now they realize they have to deal with it. Whatever it is costly, they need to separate themselves from the foreign woman and deal with these foreign marriages, so that the whole seed, their children, will not be affected, and the next generation will not worship idol. They will not worship the God of the people who are around them. And the same here we are today. We need to deal with such marriages, with such sexual activities that not glorifying God, so that our descendants and our children, they will not do the same and worship the same God that the non-believers around us, they do. They will not practice the immoral things that the non-believers around us, they do. Ezra continued to grieve because of all that. Even they told him like this. In verse 6 we can read, "Then Ezra withdrew from before the house of God and went to the room of Jehohanan, son of Eliashib. While he was there, he ate no food and he drank no water, because he continued to mourn over the unfaithfulness of the exiles." He was praying and fasting for the situation, grieving and asking God to solve it, asking the Lord to deal with it. While he was praying and fasting, God also was working on the behalf of this matter. We will read that in verse 7 to verse 9. Verse 7 to verse 9, Ezra chapter 10, verse 7 to verse 9. "A proclamation was then issued throughout Judah and Jerusalem for all the exiles to assemble in Jerusalem. Anyone who failed to appear within 3 days would forfeit all his property. In accordance with the decision of the officials and elders, and would himself be expelled from the assembly of the exiles." Oh, up to the point that they will expel the people if they will not comply, because that is a very important issue. Within the 3 days, all the men of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem, and on the 20th day of the 9th month, all the people were sitting in the square before the house of God, greatly distressed by the occasion and because of the rain. So they call the people, all of them, they gather, and those who will not be complying, they'll be expelled from the community. Because that is issue is very critical issue. If they will not deal with it, what they labor, it will go in vain. Ezra chapter 10, verse 10. Ezra faced the people with their sin. Then Ezra, the priest, stood up and said to them, "You have been unfaithful. You have married foreign women, adding to Israel's guilt." He faced them with their sin. And then Ezra pronounced to them God's will and gave them the decision and what they need to do. In verse 11 we can read, "Now make confession to the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do his will." Confess your sin and do his will. What is his will? "Separate yourselves from the peoples around you and from your foreign wives." He called them foreign wives, foreign partners, that they have a relationship not in accord to God's will. In the same way, there are marriages and certain relationship and certain children are outcome of foreign wives or foreign relationship, foreign to the word of God and to the ways of the Lord. And we need to deal with it appropriately in a prayer and in fasting. The people responded to the decision that had been made. They responded to the decision that Ezra told them about to do God's will and separate yourself from the people around you and from your foreign wives. Verse 14, we can read from Ezra chapter 10. The whole assembly responded with a loud voice. You are right. We must do as you say. They agree. Sometimes we say, how the people will agree? They will agree because God is after them. Verse 13. But there are many people here and it is the rainy season. So we cannot stand outside because this matter cannot be taken care of in a day or two. Because we have sinned greatly in this thing, let our officials act for the whole assembly. Then let everyone in our towns who has married a foreign woman come at a set time, along with the elders and judges of each town, enter the fierce anger of our God, and this matter is turned away from us. So here, they suggest to have the schedulings, and we will read later, and you can read later on in the book of Ezra chapter 10, the list of the people whom they have dealt with. Here we can understand that they make a schedule for them, and they have to come on time so that they will deal with the issue of those marrying foreign women. In the same way, in the church, there are people whom their marriages, their life, children, coming outcome from a relationship not glorifying God, and we need to deal with these issues. All the people agree, but only few objected that decision. Verse 15, Ezra 10:15. Only Jonathan, son of Asahel, and Jaziah, son of Tikva, supported by Meshullam and Shabbithai, the Levite, opposed this. Only few people oppose. We expect not everyone will agree, but the majority will agree because it is God's word. The rest of the committee obeyed and did what the Lord required of them, and they dealt with every situation. In verse 16 to verse 17, we can read, so the exile did as was proposed. Ezra the priest selected men who were family heads, one from each family division, and all of them designated by name. On the first day of the 10th month, they sat down to investigate the cases. And by the first day of the first month, they finished dealing with all the men who had married foreign women. So they have dealt with all the issue in 3 months. When you read Ezra chapter 10, verse 18 to verse 43, you can read the list of the names of those of whom Israel and the community dealt with their foreign wives and their children. As the Lord spoke to Ezra and Nehemiah and to the people, God is also speaking continually to us from His word that we have read here, and also the rest of His word in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, God also spoke to the church in Thyatira and warned them to avoid sexual immorality and be cleansed from teaching and teachers who promote immoralities. In book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18 to verse 23, we can read the following about the revelation of God to the church in Thyatira, and it is to the church today, in dealing with the matter in pertain to the same issue, marriages and outcome of marriages and children not glorifying God. to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like a blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, but by her teaching she misleads my servant into sexual immorality and eating of food sacrificed to idols. Inside the church, people promoting sexual immoralities and things not glorifying God. As we have read in the book of Ezra, there are things contradict the status of the temple and the wall around Jerusalem. Inside the church, there are things contradict the word of God, and if we allow it to continue on, our children will be infected, and they will do the same as the worldly people around them in the future, and the church will be dissolved. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. In verse 23, he says, I will strike your children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deed. And that's what he mentioned also, that he was to strike her children, her descendants. And here what we have read also in the book of Ezra chapter 9 verse 2, when he said, and have mingled the holy race with the peoples around them. Here the disciple, the descendant, the workers will be infected with the wrong practices, not in accord with the word of God, and will bring ruin to the children, to our children, to the disciples, and to the next generation. The messages that we are reading, the scripture from the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and the book of Revelation, inspire us as well to repent and be obedient to God in dealing and reviewing certain marital issues and situations that will bring defilement to our children and descendants, and bring them away from God. There are points I was going to mention here. I will little expand as much as the Holy Spirit allow me. The first point, to avoid defilement inside the church. First, we will not approve marrying non-believer. There is no way that we will approve that. Many scriptures speak about that. We will not also approve marriages that man is not mature and not well prepared physically and spiritually to care for the family. When you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you can see that how God prepared Adam to marry. He prepared everything. Then he brought the woman. Also, the example of Isaac in Genesis 24, Isaac was prepared materially, spiritually mature, and God brought to him Rebecca. The third point, we will not approve dating, courting, or having boyfriend or girlfriend as a way of finding partner for marriage. In the beginning, it was not like this. The man would meet his wife in the day of marriage. Adam did not look for her, and even Isaac did not look for her. God brought her to him, and also Jacob did not intermingle with Leah, but God brought her to him in the night of his wedding. The next point, our workers who go ahead and marry women or many men not in accord to God's will, we will discontinue our ministry with them. We do that not because they don't have right to marry what they like. They don't have the right to do that, but we discontinue our ministry with them for another valid reason. We do that so that the rest of our co-workers will not be enticed and do the same. Point number five, those who are single parent, single mother, or single father, we admonish them to care for their children, and they cannot go and marry another person as long as the father or the mother of their children are still alive. We search the scriptures, but we not find that it mentions that a single mother or a single father, they go and marry. Paul say in Timothy chapter 5:14, he say, I counsel young widow to marry. He did not say, I will counsel a single mother or a single father, but he say, I counsel so I counsel younger widows to marry. So here the husband, the partner should be dead. Now the children that are the outcome of sexual relationship or a boyfriend or from somebody who is married, we counsel those parents of those children to care for their children and not to go to marry, because if you will approve them to have a relationship with another man or woman, their children, they will do the same. Part of the consequence of their repentance and accepting God's will, that they need to live the rest of their life to care for their children, so that they will be a good example for their children, so that their children, when they will grow, they will not do such things. They will not have sex and get a pregnancy without a proper marital relationship. Point number six. Married person whose partner is involved in adultery with other person, we advise him or her to separate from her or his partner till they repent. If a man married and and his wife go to another man, we ask him to separate from her, no divorce, but separate from her until she repent. He cannot go and marry another woman. If a woman, her husband go to other woman, we advise her to separate from him, not to sleep with him. We don't advise divorce, but we ask her to separate from him till he repent. Married person whose partner is bringing to him constant troubles. Some people are married, but their partner, husband or wife, are bringing to them constant troubles that they cannot bear, like somebody drunkard, he's a thief stealing, or he is a violent person who beat and endanger life, and he bring harm to the other partner and children, then we advise to separate temporarily to that person, that partner, repent. Point number 8. Divorced person cannot remarry as long as his partner is alive. Those who are divorced, point 9, and married another partner, their relationship is adultery and not husband and wife. Those who are divorced and remarried again another partner, not the one they divorced, but another person, their relationship we consider it as adultery. In Mark chapter 10 verse 9 to 12, The Lord said, therefore, what God had joined together, let man not separate. When they were in the house again, the disciple asked Jesus about this. He answered, anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another woman, she commits adultery. Now, you may ask, if somebody who has already divorced and now he is remarried and he has paper and everything, on legal thing they are husband and wife, but in front of God, according to his word, it is adultery. If the partner is still alive, the next one, the other partner cannot go and marry another person. These points that pertain to marriage and family are headline for very serious issue in the life of the church. Because we are called to protect the sanctity of the holy race, our children, and we ought to raise them up in a separate way from the world and the sin of the world. The worldly people, they do all these things. Now, if we allow such things inside the church, then our children, they will do the same things that the worldly people, they do. Boyfriend inside the church, as in the world. Girlfriend, the same in the world. Courting, dating, meeting before marriage, sex before marriage, second woman, second wife, remarrying, all this in the world. All these things, practices in the false religion, we as a Christian, we should not do that. What he say in the book of the book of Revelation that we have read, I will strike her children. If we disobey the Lord, God will strike our children. We strike our disciples, strike our descendants. But if we will obey, God will bless and prosper our children. And that's what he mentioned here. There is still hope for Israel. There is still hope for us as a church. God will give us strength. God will give perseverance to the single parent. They will give them self-control. They will give them joy and caring for their children. And live their life for them. They will be a watchman and woman for their children, to care for them, so that their children, when they will grow, they will not do what their parents did and sin against the Lord. The Lord will bless and prosper our children and will protect them as long as we are abiding, we as a church, we as a parent, abiding in his word and will. Let's read book of Revelation. Let's continue read book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 29. Verse 24 to 29, we see here the same message to the church in Thyatira. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, because in Thyatira there were people who go along the first teaching of Jezebel the prophetess, who promote immoralities, but there are another people. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery. See, hear the authority of the Lord when we obey. He will give authority over the nation. Give us power. This is, I have received authority from my Father. I will also give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What we spoke here is an outline. If you have a discussion or questions and more detail, I please request you to contact me directly, so I can expound to you more of the word of God. God wants us to protect our children, to protect our disciples, the holy race, from being corrupted and defiled by practices of marriage and sexual relationship that contradict the word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness. Thank you for your word that you send, and I pray that you make it clear. Oh God, you will convince your people, your church, to obey and to abide with your will and your plan. Oh Lord, I pray those who are willing, you help them, you support them, you bless them and their descendants and their children and their ministry. And Lord, I pray that you use this message for your glory. Take it and make it spread to those who are waiting, oh Lord, to hear your word and walk according to your will. We thank and we praise you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.